Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. This weekend, the American Tap Dance Foundation is launching Tap City's 19th annual New York City Tap Festival. This month marks the foundation's 33rd year of tapping. Its mission? An ongoing commitment to establish and legitimize tap dance as a vital component of American dance through creation, presentation, education, and preservation. I'm joined in studio with tap dancers Rashmi Rajendran. Hi, Rashmi. And Vikras Arun, and the foundation's artistic and executive director, Tony Vogg.
Hello.
Hello. Tap City, the New York City Tap Festival will run from July 6th to the 12th. Thanks for coming to studio, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, Tony, there are Tap City events all over New York City. Can you give us a rundown of what to expect?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we start with master classes on July 6th. 10 different master classes taught by 10 different masters. And then on Sunday, we do a tour of famous tap dance-related locations in New York. And these are places that are significantly involved in the resurgence and also the history of tap dance.
What's an example of one of those places, just to give
people
a taste?
Well, like this time, we're doing a tour of Radio City Music Hall because of the Rockettes and their commitment to presenting tap dance for many, many, many years. And then we start out with Broadway Dance Center, which is one of our local dance studios that have tap classes and have had tap classes for years and years and years. And then that night, July 7th, we have a special performance of Tap Allington at Birdland. And that is a co-produced event with Mercedes Allington, which is the Duke's granddaughter, good friend of mine. So it's a specialized tap event with lots of Duke Ellington music and a big band.
Great.
Totally excited about that. And then we have residencies all week long. And these residencies, the students learn choreography, which they perform in and present at the end of the festival on July 12th in a production called Tap Future. But we also have the opening event, which is not the first day, but it's the Monday event. It's the Copacetic Boat Ride. We take a Circle Line boat and we tour. Well, we go all the way around Manhattan for 4 hours.
Tapping around Manhattan?
We tap around Manhattan with live band and a show, and everyone brings food and drinks, and it's kind of a social event. It's kind of the sleeper. And then we have an award ceremony on Wednesday night at the Thalia Theater up at Symphony Space, where we give out the annual Hoofer Award, the annual Tap Preservation Award, and we induct famous tap dancers into the Tap Dance Hall of Fame. This was all started by Gregory Hines, by the way, at the suggestion of Gregory Hines. He felt it was really important to acknowledge the history of tap dance. And then the big event is Rhythm in Motion, which is a culmination of an artist-in-residence program that I have at my center, the American Tap Dance Center. And Vikas here is one of the artists-in-residence.
How did you get involved with it, Vikas?
Yeah, so I was a dancer on Chloe Arnold's company. Chloe is actually one of the upcoming award winners this year. And that's kind of how I met Tony, is I joined her company, and the company is based out of the American Tap Dance Center as part of the Artist in Residency program. And during my time dancing for Chloe, I also started creating work with my collaborator, Ramita Ravi, who could not be here today, unfortunately. And we've been creating work uniting tap dance and Bharatanatyam, which is a form of classical Indian dance. And Tony kind of caught on to those videos and really enjoyed them, much to our surprise. And so he offered us a spot as artists in residence, kind of creating work. And that's how Project Convergence, which is our company, was born. And so that's we'll be presenting work as part of Rhythm in Motion along with a bunch of other artists in residence this year, which will be really exciting.
I want to ask you more about the festival, but I'm curious what you saw in those videos that made you realize you wanted to have this young man be part of your
Was like the perfect blend of Indian dance, percussive dance, with tap dance. I mean, it's not that I hadn't seen that before, but it was a fresh new take on it. I mean, some of the pieces are more contemporary and then some of them are very traditional, and I like everything. I like to mix it up and present a variety of work. A lot of people don't realize that tap dance has become very global. So we're mixing tap with Brazilian music, we're mixing tap in Japan, we're doing tap dance is everywhere now.
Rashmi, how did you get involved with tap dancing?
So actually, I am a Bharatanatyam dancer. I don't personally practice tap, but being part of Project Convergence was a good place for me to get introduced to tap dance and to be able to see how these two styles combine. I can see there are so many similarities, mm-hmm. but also we are so different that it just made me so curious to learn more about tap dance as well, actually. So that was my introduction to tap.
She'll become a tap dancer.
I definitely hope to.
Vikas, how did you become involved with tap dancing?
Yeah, so I actually got started with dancing courtesy of Bollywood movies. So there's this really famous Bollywood song where this actor named Shah Rukh Khan dances on top of a train, and I'm obsessed with trains. And so that's kind of how I got started into dancing, and my mom took me into a dance studio, and I ran out of the ballet class and into the tap class, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Freedom!
Yes, exactly. I think the fact that there weren't, you know, rules that are the way in ballet, the rules kind of do whatever you want and express yourself, and you're accepted kind of no matter what body shape or type or ethnicity or gender or any of that you are. And to me, that like community was really, really exciting.
Well, you folks have been so kind to agree to perform a few pieces for us. What's the first one you're going to perform?
So we're going to perform an Alaripu. So Rashmi can actually give a bit of context on what Alaripu is.
So Alaripu is usually the very first full piece that a Bharatanatyam student learns. Usually it is a good 3 years into their training. So it takes 3 years to actually learn and perfect the basics to learn a full 2-minute item or dance piece. But Vikas and Ramita have fused it with elements of tap and definitely made it a lot more complicated than what we usually do, and Vikas is going to tell us more about that.
So essentially this is a fusion or uniting, we like to say, of tap dance and Bharatanatyam, taken as like an opening of any concert. And this is one of the pieces we'll be presenting at Rhythm and Motion as kind of our first piece on the stage as artist in residence, so we're really excited about it.
We're going to be listening to Rashmi Rajendran and Vikas Arun performing for us. Take your places, folks. Yum, thalang, kutak, thalang, kutak, thari, kitatak, dum. Re, dum, kitatak, re. Date, date, kitatak, dum. Date, dum, tagatak, kitate. Date, 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 kitatak, thari, kitatak, dum. Data, adatak, kitate, date, date, adatak, kitatak, dum. Data. Take a ducket, take a take it, take a take it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a day, and then take it, take a dump, and then tuck it, take a day, take a take it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a day, and then take it, take a dump, take a take it, take a dump, take a take it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a day, then take it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a day, and then take it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a day, and then take it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a day, and then take it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a day, and then take it, take a dump, then tuck it, take a dump, Get Oh, take a minute, catch your breath. That was great. Rashmi, Rajendran, and Vikras Arun. That was amazing. That was, can you, I don't want to say describe what you just did, but are there certain elements of it that you can break down, specific movements to Bharatanatyam?
So if you paid attention to how the music moves, it starts off a little slow, and then the tempo increases as it goes. The idea of Alarapu, in general, is to start from the simple, slow movement. So we start with the arms, and towards the end, we go to our feet. One of the most important aspects of Bharatanatyam is our footsteps, which is why we have bells, to really bring out the footwork in sound, you know? So I guess that's the most distinguished
characteristics,
feature.
Yeah.
Characteristic.
But it's interesting when you mention the feet, because I think that's where it dovetails so beautifully into tap, right? The percussive nature of the feet on the ground.
Yep.
It's also the flat-footedness of it, right? I mean,
yes.
The Indian dance is a very flat foot.
Yes, yes, definitely.
And rhythm tap is very flat-footed. And I would, can I just
of course,
add a couple things?
Dive in.
This is a piece for rhythm and motion, right? But they have a whole company, isn't it? Six?
Yeah, so we have like 25 dancers in the company, but six will be doing this piece at Rhythm and Motion. And so the visuals for the tap dancers are kind of stolen or borrowed from the Bharatanatyam dancers. So if you come watch the show, our opening formation is this like vertical line with this kind of cascading visual that's very kind of classic Bharatanatyam, the tap dancers kind of inserted themselves into. So there's a lot more than just the sonic elements, and I think that's the great borrowing of the two styles. Is we always say that like the tap dancers are really musicians first and dancers second, and Bharatanatyam dancers kind of think in the opposite angle. So they push us visually and we push them rhythmically, and it makes this really beautiful kind of melting pot of styles.
My guests are Tony Vogg, Artistic and Executive Director of the American Tap Dance Foundation, dancers Rashmi Rajendran and Vikras Arun. We're talking about the New York City Tap Festival, which is running from July 6th to July 12th. So Tony, it's the history of tap dance in America. We've been talking about, this has been so interesting about it being global, but I've always thought of it as, and I think a lot of people think of it as a really American art form because it was born out of poverty and oppression. Where do you see the history of tap starting?
Well, it's a complicated history, and it's a complicated question. I like to say that it started in New York at the Five Points District, mid-1800s. But just to clarify, that's when they started calling it tap dance. Before that, it was a percussive art form, and it was, you know, born of a melding of many different cultures, including Africa and England and Ireland, but where they actually started moving it into vaudeville and performing, it was like a competition between Irish immigrants and freed black slaves at the Five Points District. They started hearing each other do things. They started competing. They started implementing new ideas like wearing specialized shoes or putting metal eventually on the shoes, which came a little bit later. So there's all kinds of stuff about it. So you have to be very careful about what you're talking about. Charles Dickens discovered Juba at the Five Points District and wrote about this amazing African-American dancer that was stealing the show, basically. Mm-hmm. And then he started performing, and it became a performing art form instead of a social folk dance.
It's interesting. There's, I think it was Joan Acacella who wrote in the New Yorker article that some people don't want to include or believe that Irish step dancing is part of tap. Why would that be?
Well, I think there are sometimes ownership issues. People want to be identified with something that's hot. But it's very clear. I mean, when you think of Bill Bojangles Robinson being one of the most famous tap dancers dancing Irish rhythms he was more of an Irish dancer than anything else. He had wooden soles on his shoes, not metal tap. So his influence was very Irish-based.
We're having a conversation about the New York City Tap Festival, which is running July 6th through the 12th. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have more. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and we're talking about the New York City Tap Festival, which is going on from July 6th through July 12th. We have in the studio dancers Rashmi Rajendran, Vikras Arun, and Tony Wagg, Artistic Director of the American Tap Dance Foundation. But Tony is also a tap dancer. We've got him out on the board with Vikras. And you guys are going to perform
The Shim Sham.
The Shim Sham. Let's do it. All right, so I am told, I do not know this personally, but I am told that that is tap dance's anthem, the tap dance's national anthem.
That is correct.
How so? How did this come to be?
Well, it's been around so long that everybody knows it, and it's been incorporated in countless productions. A guy named Leonard Reed supposedly choreographed it. He takes credit for it, and maybe I think he organized it, mm-hmm. because it's basically based off of vernacular movement and vernacular steps that everybody knows. It's called the Shim Sham Shimmy. There's a shimmy in there.
There was indeed a shimmy. I can attest to it. They both shimmied.
And what's fun about it, some people think, oh, God, it's so old-fashioned, but what's fun about it is it allows somebody to participate in a concert. Quite often, it'll be the last thing, and if you know the Shim Sham, you get to get up and do it with everybody else. So it's just another one of those community type of things.
As a young gentleman, what do you like about it? Because that is a sort of a classic old-fashioned dance.
Yeah,
it's the community-building aspect of it. And Tony's 100% right. I literally just got off of a plane from a show in Seattle, and we did exactly that after, you know, what everyone thought was the last number of the show, and you know, you did all your credits, we said, you know, anyone in the house who knows the Shim Sham, and which some swing dancers know a version of the Shim Sham as well.
Correct.
And so it's great because you get, you know, people from very old to this like literally like 4-year-old up there doing this dance together, and they all have different versions, but they're all having fun together. And I think that sort of energy and carefree nature of it is what makes it so timeless.
Is this one of those things, if you type that into YouTube,
oh, yeah.
You get 90 million there, results.
And there are, actually, Leonard Reed, actually, I didn't mean to say that he didn't create it. He created 5 other Shim Shams, which a lot of people don't know about, but they're out there. They're out there.
Tony, in the Library of Congress website, there's a bio about you.
Uh-oh.
It says, I arrived in New York City
I didn't do it.
No, in 1982 with 2 suitcases, $500 in my pocket, and showbiz on my mind. Does that sound like you?
Yeah.
How did you find your way into the world of tap dancing?
I actually met a couple of the copacetics, Charles Cookie Cook and Bubba Gaines, and then my mentor, Brenda Buffalino, in my hometown, Fort Collins, Colorado, straight out of high school. They came through town. They did what I'm doing now. They did a concert. They taught a few classes. And that was my aha moment. I said, I want to be a tap dancer. And so I dropped everything that I was planning on doing, which I was going into Colorado State University as a sculpture major, and I did do one year of that, and then I moved to University of Utah, and I studied with a couple people there. Then I went to San Francisco, and I studied with Eddie Brown, and then I decided I was going to come to New York and find Brenda and the Copacetics, and literally, I kid you not, I ran into Brenda on the street the first day I came to New York. She invited me to a concert. She invited me to her class, and I started studying with her, and then she started a company called the American Tap Dance Orchestra, which is this organization morphed out of a ensemble of dancers. We toured the world for about 15 years, and then it disbanded. I kept the nonprofit. I changed it to the American Tap Dance Foundation and became the artistic director. And now we've expanded into the festival and with a tap dance center and year-round programming and lots of preservation and presentation and education and creation and nation.
How did you come to tap dance?
Yes. So for me, it started out as kind of, like I said, when I got thrown into that dance studio, it was, I feel like every other little boy in the U.S., it was one of my many activities, you know, soccer on Tuesdays, tap dance on Wednesdays. And it was just one of the many bajillions of things elementary school Vacoste did. And then I actually moved studios to a youth company run by my former tap teacher, Josh Scribner, who now has a very wonderful youth company out in Seattle. And when I moved, I was so taken aback by his level of dancing that I decided to go from 1 hour a week to 28 hours a week of dancing. And my parents were just kind of like, okay. and so that's kind of what the latter half of middle school and high school became for me. Wow. And so when I came out to New York to go to Columbia University, that was like one of the many reasons I chose to come to Columbia, was to be able to study and be part of the community of the American Tap Dance Foundation, which everyone knows about, even if you don't live in New York. I had never visited New York before moving here, but even I knew about it, and I knew about the green walls and the purple walls that are very famous there. So that's a large part of the reason I came out here, was to be part of the community that I now find myself a part of.
I need to know more about the green walls.
I do, too. I didn't know we were famous for green walls.
It's just like the walls of the studio have this very distinct, like, teal-ish color in one room and purplish color in the other room. And whenever you see like tap dancers that, I mean, nowadays you follow on social media, but back when I was younger, it was, you know, YouTube videos. You always saw them rehearsing in the studio. And similar to like most dancers kind of know what Broadway Dance Center looks like. Most tap dancers kind of know what the American Tap Dance Foundation looks like, because the people they look up to are based out of there. And so you see it over and over and over again. And you kind of aspire to be within those
part
walls
of that,
at some
yeah.
point.
We're talking about Tap City, the New York City Tap Festival, July 6th and July 12th. Tony, you just learned something new about you.
Yeah, I'm going to go paint the walls.
Before we go, I wanted to give all the information out again. It's Tap City, the New York City Tap Festival, July 6th through the 12th. Where can I see you guys during the festival?
Symphony Space.
What day?
July 11th, 8 o'clock show.
So, Tony, we're going to ask you to take us out. So we're going to hear one more. This is a tribute to Mabel Lee, who was a tap dance icon. She recently passed away. Tony, what else can you tell me?
Well, she also was a famous, famous singer. In fact, she was more known as a singer. But she was involved in the tap festival from the beginning and often performed into her 90s.
A tribute to Mabel Lee from Mr. Tony Vag.
Yay. Ow!
Tap City, New York City Tap Festival runs July 6th through July 12th. This is all of it on WNYC.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.